About the issue of Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. What happens when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and whether or not one is supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbos, and then the Mishnah, which sort of got lost in the shuffle of all this discussion about Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, the Mishnah mentioned the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was that the same way they used to blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said any community which has a Beis Din should also follow that practice of the Beis HaMikdash, and they should blow shofar on Shabbos as well. Now, in tonight's shiur, it's going to be a little bit different than usual, and what I'd like to do is discover a little bit and explore a little bit the life of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the takanos that he instituted. We'll have a little bit of a better understanding because our Gemara on Chav Tes Amud Beis introduces us to one of the takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Gemara on Lamed Amud Aleph is going to have another one of the takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so it's important just to know the background of why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was doing these things, and a little bit about the lifetime of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So let's give a little bit historical perspective. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was born about 115, 120 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. It's probably around 115 years before. And he was a student, even at a young age, he was a student of the great Hillel HaNasi at the time. And Hillel saw in him, he already recognized at a very young age that this great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who is now a child prodigy, is going to be someone very special later on. So we have a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Gimel Amud Beis, which says that clearly, that from a young age they saw in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that he would be something great. What happened, says the Gemara? Hanu Trei Talmidi, there were two students, Dav Yasvi Kamei De Hillel. There were two students who were sitting as young children before Hillel. V'chad Minai Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. One of them happened to be Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And they both posed a question to the great Rabbi Hillel. One Talmud posed the question in one way, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai posed the same question in a very different way. Very similar, but very different in some way. So the Gemara says there that Hillel turns to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and he says, Muftach ani, I am sure, bazeh, I'm sure about you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shemoro harabi Yisrael. I see from the sensitivity in the way you choose to formulate, to ask a question, I can see that you are going to be a moro harabi Yisrael, which is a very interesting point. That he doesn't say from the fact that you're asking such a brilliant kasha, that means you're going to be a Moro HaRabbi Yisrael. He's saying from the fact that I see you have such sensitivity, from the fact that you're such a caring person and you're so careful about the choice of words that you use, that's how I know you're going to be a Moro HaRabbi, a great leader of the Jewish people. And that obviously, I think, as an aside, teaches us what it means to be the leader of the Jewish people. It's not the biggest genius. It's the person, obviously, with the greatest sensitivity, even from a young age, that it shows they are going to be the one who will lead, and that's where the Gemara says there, V'lohaya yamim mu'atim, it was not long after that, at shahora harabi Yisrael. It turned out that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, a very short time later, became one of the great leaders, one of the great people who everyone in the Jewish community turned to. So although he was in some way a sensation as a child, although Hillel saw in him that he was going to be destined for greatness, it's interesting to note that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spends 40 years of his life in business. And he was not engaged in Talmud Torah at all. Again, obviously he had a background, but most of his time he spent in business. Then at the age of 40, he decided enough is enough. He's going to now dedicate his life to Talmud Torah. He's going to go ahead and now become the great Talmud Chacham, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And that's what he does. For the next 40 years of his life, from the year 40 until age 80, he spends time learning Torah Yom V'Laila, learning all day long. Then, the next 40 years of his life is when he went out and taught Torah. So he lived 120 years. The Medrash says in Dvarim that there were only a few people who lived 120 years, a life of Shlemus. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Kiva, and Hillel. And the fourth one was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So we're told that the last segment of his life, from 80 to 120, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai spends his time disseminating Torah and being Marbe Talmidim and being the leader of the Jewish people. So Dvar tells us a little bit about the description of how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai led his life. Says the Gemara as follows in Sukkah Daf Chav Ches. Miyamav, in all of his days, lo sach sichas chulin. You could never catch Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai talking about narishkeit, talking about dvarim shel mabukach. That's not what he did. He was always involved in important matters. Number two, lo halach dalad amas below Torah uvelo tefillin. You could never catch Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai going dalad amas without learning Torah or wearing his tefillin. Number three, lo hidmu adam bebeis hamedrash. Nobody ever got to the Beis Medrash before him. Ever, says the Gemara. Nobody ever got to the Beis Medrash before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'lo yashin be'Beis HaMedrash. You never found Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai falling asleep in the Beis Medrash. Lo shinas keva, v'lo shinas arai. Not only did he not sleep there at night, that's disrespectful. But even to doze off for a few minutes to reinvigorate himself, even that, says the Gemara. Lo hirher b'mevuos hamatu nafas, when he was walking home, and he was going for a lunch break, whatever it might have been, and he was in a place where you're not allowed to learn Torah because it has tzoa, or it has something else that precludes a person from learning Torah. There, says the Gemara, he wouldn't even think about divrei Torah in those areas, which again, is a difficult thing to accomplish. Lo hiniach adam b'beis hamedrash v'yatza. Not only was he the first one into the Beis Medrash in the morning that nobody ever got in there before him, lo kidmu adam b'beis hamedrash, says the Gemara, lo hiniach adam b'beis hamedrash v'yatza. He never allowed anyone to be there after him. He was always the last one out. He locked the doors. He cleaned up the Beis Medrash. Lo matzo adam yoshev idomim. You would never see him just sitting around and doing nothing. He was always studying Torah. Ela yoshev ishona. Velo pasach adam delos the talmidav elahu ba'atzmo. He would be the one who let all the talmidim in the morning. He wouldn't allow someone else to do it. He didn't find it beneath his dignity. Velo amar devar shelo shama mi pirabo liolam. So the Gemara here describes this was quite a personality. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was quite a leader, was quite a person. And when you see the way he led his life, you now understand why it was that he was chosen to be the leader of the Jewish people, why he was chosen to be the Nasi. In fact, the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, not only did he have all these incredible qualities in the way he led his life and how seriously he took his job and his mission, but the Gemara says that even in terms of his outstanding characteristics, Bein Adam L'Chaveru, the Gemara says, Shahaya Makdim Shalom L'Chal Adam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, every time he was found anywhere, he was the first one to greet other people. And the Gemara says, Lo Hayom Misha Hekdimo Shalom. There was no one who ever had the chance to say hello to him first. He was always the first one to engage other people. Afilu Nachri Shabashuk. Even the non-Jews that he didn't know, that he had no relationship with, he made sure to be friendly, he made sure to engage them, he made sure to take an interest in everything that was going on. This was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So, the Gemara gives us a glimpse into the various areas of Torah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to master throughout his life. Says the Gemara, just a glimpse to understand how much of a mastery of Torah Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had. Listen to another Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Shmonim Talmidim Hayilal Hillel HaZakin. So the great Hillel has a yeshiva, and he has 80 Talmidim learning in the yeshiva. Says the Gemara, Gadol Shabakulan, the greatest, the most pronounced of all these Talmidim, was the most prominent, Yonasan ben Uzziel, like we have the Targum Yonasan. Then the Gemara says, Katan Shebekulan, the weakest of the 80 Talmidim of Hillel HaZakin was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it's not bad. The Gemara tells us they had 30 who were on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, 30 who were on the level of Yeshua ben Nun, and 20 somewhere in the middle. So it's a pretty amazing group of students, a pretty incredible yeshiva. Says the Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the weakest of the Talmidim. Let's hear, what did he know as the weakest of the students? Let's hear, says the Gemara as follows. Lo hiniach mikra. There was no pasuk in Chumash or Tanakh that he was not aware of. Mishnah. There was no Mishnah that he didn't know by heart. There was no Gemara that he didn't know. Not one halacha, says the Gemara. Not one agada. Sometimes you have a Talmud Chacham who knows every Gishmak Akasha in the world, every Achron. He doesn't know how to give a drasha. Sometimes you have a rabbi who knows how to give a drasha, doesn't know how to give a shir. Here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew everything. Halacha, agada, mikra, mishnah, dikduke Torah, dikduke Sofrim. He knew everything. Kavah Chamurim. He knew how to make a Kavah Chamur, Xerishava, Tkufos, and Gematrius. He knew how to understand astronomy, astrology, and Gematrius. He knew how to make numerical values of different words. Sichas Malachi al-Sharis. He knew how to communicate with the heavenly angels, with the Malachim. Sichas Shadim. He knew how even to communicate with the demons. Sichas Dekalim. He understood when the trees were communicating with one another. He was able to weigh in on such conversations, says the Gemara. Mishalos Hakovsim, Mishalos Shualim, Davar Gadol, Davar Katan, Maisa Merkava. He knew everything there was to know, says the Gemara. He knew Chachma of Torah, he knew Chachma Chitzonis, he knew everything that a person could ever know. That was the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There's a story in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Daled where the Gemara tells us the following, and it just gives you a perspective also on how highly regarded Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was. So says the Gemara that there was a story that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the great Tana, goes to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He goes to learn by him. Shows up in the home of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's about to hear the first shir, and he finds out Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a son who's deathly sick. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turns to him and he says, Nu, Chanina b'ni, you're such a great tzaddik, maybe you can go ahead and offer a tefillah on behalf of my son. After all, he's deathly sick. I don't know what's going to be with him. I would appreciate it very much if you would offer a tefillah on his behalf. Says the Gemara, Amar lo, so Chanina goes ahead. He niach rosho ben birkav, he puts his head in between his legs, ubikesh alav rachamim, and he is offering a beautiful tefillah b'chaya, and the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai now is given another chance at life. On that occasion, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, had I gone ahead and offered a tefillah from today till tomorrow, it wouldn't have worked. And here, Rabbi Hanina goes ahead, he offers a tefillah, it works right away. So the wife of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai overhears the conversation and she says, I don't understand. You think he's greater than you are? Didn't you hear the Gemara said in Maseches Sukkah all about your accomplishments? Didn't you hear the Gemara says, there's nothing that you don't know, you're a pretty amazing person. How can you think that if you would have offered the tefillah, it would not have worked? And now that Hanina, your little student who just showed up to the yeshiva, his tefillah does work. So he answered him back, no. Amar lo lav. Ela hu doma ke'eved lefnei ha-melech, v'ani doma kesar lefnei ha-melech. What it means is the following. You know, I think sometimes, you know, let's say I went to YU. So when I was in YU, you know, the person who knows the most information and who speaks to the president most often is who? Anyone went to YU? Moshe the plumber. You know Moshe the plumber? There's a guy in YU, Moshe the plumber. How does he know the most information? Because he's in and out of the president's office. He's walking around everywhere. He hears everything that's going on. He doesn't have to have an invitation to come to a meeting. He's just in and out. He's showing up, plunging the toilets and helping the sinks that are not working, and he's doing all the things that he has to do. If you ever want to know anything going on in YU, Moshe the plumber's the address. Most people knew me, but the answer is Schechter can't just walk into the office of the president. You have to have a meeting. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says over here as well. Rabbi Hanina ben Tran is like the plumber, not in a derogatory term. It's just, he's like somebody who's just a shamish in the house of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he shows up, he doesn't need a meeting to come and have a conversation with God. Once he says something, he happens to be plumbing the toilets anyway, so now, so to speak, so now he goes ahead and he offers a tefillah while he's there anyway. He sticks in his 2 cents, so God listens to him. Me, I am Kisar Lefnei HaMelech, I'm the vice president. So therefore, if I'm the vice president, the only way the president allows me to speak is when he invites me and he asks me to give my opinion. But it shows that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was considered to be the Sar Lefnei HaMelech. It shows that he was considered to be in his generation like the person who was second in command to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore he assumes that unless he's asked to open his mouth and to offer something to say before the Ribbono Shel Olam, he was not going to be listened to. So that's what the Gemara tells us. He was truly an incredible personality, one of the great, great leaders that Klal Yisrael has ever had. In fact, the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi about Hillel, the great Hillel who was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we just mentioned. So the Gemara says that Hillel HaZaken was sick, and all of his 80 Talmidim come in. If you hear from Ma'ariv, it's next door. So all the 80 Talmidim come in to visit the great Rebbe Hillel, and all of them show up, and amongst that group you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I'm sorry, you have Yonas of Menaziel, all the other great tzaddikim, all the people that were like Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua ben Nun, you have great people who show up into the house. So Hillel HaZaken is scanning the room, he's looking around and he sees, hey, we're missing someone, I only see 79, what happened? So he's looking around a little more, the Yerushalmi says he notices Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not here. He says, where's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? But listen to the Lashon, he says, Heichan hu ha-katan shebechem? Where is the katan, the one who you consider to be the lowest of the students in my yeshiva? Shehu av lechachma v'av ledoros, Hillel says. Where is the katan shebachem, the one that you consider to be the smallest, the weakest of the students, but in truth he is av lechachma. He is the father of wisdom, v'av ledoros. He is the one who is going to lead and manage generations. He is the one who is going to keep the Jewish people going. Ein tzorach lamar hagadol shebachem, he says, where is he? How come he didn't come to visit as well? So they told him, Harei b'chatzar, he's outside. He didn't want to come in with us. He's too humble. He felt he doesn't belong in a room that has all of us in its presence. So he says to them, no. You got to bring him in. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. You all just wait. I'll show you. You'll see. And in just a matter of years, you will see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai will become such a great Torah personality, such a great leader of the Jewish people. And because of his tremendous accomplishments, not only in the world of mastery of Torah, but also in the way he conducted his life, as the Gemara says, he was the one who had the great schus of cultivating the next group, the next leaders of Tanaim, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the leaders of the next generation of Tanaim were all the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi was a Talmud of his, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, these were all the great prominent Talmidim who all went on to become leaders in their own right because they learned by the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. In fact, on that matter, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus was one of the Talmidim. So if you look in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, that is all about Rabbi Elazar. So there, the following story is told. And this is an amazing story. Says the Gemara, Maisa Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus. So what's the story with Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus? He was the preeminent Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He had the schus learning from him. Says the Gemara, let's hear about Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus. How did he grow up? What was his story? So the Gemara says that his father had a business. He had some sort of field, and he used to employ many workers to do the work on the field. So he employed his son as well, Rabbi Elazar, to go ahead and do the work on the field. He shows up one day and he sees Yashav Lo V'Haya Bochet. He shows up and he sees his son, Elazar, is crying. So he asks him, what are you crying? Did I give you work that's too hard? You know what? I'm going to change you to a different position. Maybe this work is too hard for you. I'm going to put you as whatever it is. I'm going to have you look through the receipts. I'm going to have you do the billing. I'm going to have you do something that's a little bit easier. So the Gemara says that the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar writes that the father comes back another few days later and he sees his son Elazar is crying again. He turns to him, he says, what, this is also too hard? He switches his job, keeps switching him around. Finally he realizes it's not working. Amalo, so he says back to him, Shani mevakish lilma Torah. All I want is to learn Torah, that's why I'm crying. I don't have the opportunity because he put me in the business. I don't want to be here, I want to go learn Torah. Amalo, you want to learn Torah, Ba'alo ben Esri Meshmona Shanamata, you're 28. Get a job! What do you mean? 28 years old, you're going to go learn Torah? It's not my lesson. This is a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Atem Mavakish Luma Torah, 28. Ela, Kach Lecha Isha, why don't you go ahead and go on a date? Go get married. V'tolu Lecha Banim, you'll have children, you'll raise a family. I'm giving you a job, I'm putting you into the business, you're all set. V'ata Malich on the Beis HaSefer, and then you'll try to do better with your children. You'll have young children. You'll send them to yeshiva because you'll have money to pay for a Rebbe to teach them. And then that will be as if you're also learning. It's not going to work. You're 28 years old. Asa shtei shabbosos velotam klum. He fasted for 2 weeks straight because all he wanted was to have his wish granted. Atshe nigla lo Eliyahu. After 2 weeks, Eliyahu Hanavi shows up to Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus and he says, Ben Hyrcanus, lama atabocha, why are you crying? What's the story? Why are you fasting? 2 weeks, what's happening? Amar lo, he says, mepnei shani mevakish lilmud Torah. All I want, my only wish is that I should learn Torah. My father's making me go into the business. Amar lo, Eliyahu Navi says, if you're so sincere about that, imata mevakish lilmud Torah, if you really want to learn with sincerity and grow to be a great Talmud Chacham, alei liyushalayim eitzor Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Eliyahu HaNavi gives a glowing endorsement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and he says, go learn by him. He's the greatest person. He's the greatest leader. Go to him and that's where you'll become a great Talmud Chacham. And listen what happens. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he shows up at the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, Miyamecha lo lamadata kriya shma velo tfila velo birchas hamazon. Are you illiterate? Starts to give him a bechina, a faheri. He opens up to Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Tes. He says, you don't even know how to read the words. You can't see Rashi and Tosis. What's with you? What are you coming to the yeshiva? You never learned Kriya Shema. You never learned how to bench. He says, nope. He writes to him, Amar Leilav. He says back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I was never even taught how to say Kriya Shema. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus shows up to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after being advised by Eliyahu HaNavi to go study there. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, well, that's not going to turn me off from accepting you. Amar Lo, Amod, stay here, ve'almadcha shloshtan. I'll teach you how to do everything. And I'll sit with you and I'll learn v'hayimalamdo shtei halachos kol yimei ha-shavua. Every day he taught him 2 halachos, and then the next day 2 halachos, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself took it upon his own responsibility to grow Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus into the great tzaddik that he was, v'yachozer aleim. And just imagine the scene. You have the great Gadol Hador, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who is leading the community, a person who the Gemara gives a description about how he spent his days, how he spent his life, how much Torah he mastered in his life, and yet he's the one sitting there, not sending someone else to do the job. He's the one sitting there with a Talmud who doesn't even know how to say Kriya Shema, who doesn't know how to bench. He's sitting there with the caring and sensitivity of trying to make sure that this person has an opportunity of being successful in becoming a Talmud Chacham in his life as well. It's such an incredible story about how careful Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was about everyone who he encountered. Like the Gemara said before that we mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was makdim shalom l'chol adam. You see how he was just mevatel himself to everyone. There was nothing that was beneath his dignity. And here you find that as well with Rabbi Elazar. So his students, as a result of the way they saw that he acted and the way he composed himself during life and the way he went through his experiences of life, his students held him in such high esteem and such high regard. They respected him so much. In fact, the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sick at the end of his life, so there's a famous encounter where his students come to him and they say, why are you crying? What's there to be afraid of? You're going to take your life. You're going to go up to Shemayim. Obviously, you're going to have a very special place in Gan Eden. Why are you concerned? And they get into a whole discussion. But Amru lo Talmidav, the Talmidim, look how they address Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And again, who are we referring to? We're referring to the Gdolei HaTanaim, who are talking to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in this way, and they call him Ner Yisrael, you are the light of the Jewish people. Amud Hayamidi, you are the one who stands up. You are the pillar of the Jewish people. Patish HaChazak, Mipnei Ma'ata Bocha. The way they referred to him is in such tremendously high regard. They had so much respect for him. In fact, the Gemara says in the end of Sota that at the time that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lost his life, but la ziv ha-chachma, it says, the incredible knowledge that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had, that he encompassed, that he encapsulated in his one mind, was something that was lost. There was no one who was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai of the generation. There was no one who he left over afterward who was able to be like that. So aside from all that we've mentioned so far about his personal hanhaga, about his tremendous mastery of Torah, about the student we cared so much about and who he inspired, there was one thing that made Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai stand out outside of all of that, and that was his leadership at a time of tremendous national crisis. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we said, was born 115 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and that means that he led the Jewish people. If he died at 120, it means he was the leader of the Jewish people through the experience of the Churban. Now, the time of the Churban was a time of incredible crisis for the Jewish people on many levels. So number one, says the Gemara in Yuma, at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Tana Rabbanan, Arbaim Shana Kodem Churban HaBayis, already 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, things started to spiral out of control. Things were not going as they used to. How do we know? Number one, says the Gemara, Lahaya HaGorel Ola B'Yamin, when they did the Avod on Yom Kippur, it didn't go as smoothly as they expected. They used to have the red string, and they always got a kapara. If it turned white, they knew that it was a kapara that came to them. Already for the 40 years leading up to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the string never turned white. They didn't have the light on the menorah, was not lit all night long. The walls of the heichal would not open up when people wanted to come in. And this was a terrible time, and people noticed it, and they saw that we're headed on a downward spiral. And obviously that affected the way they acted. It affected the tone and the mood of the entire community, the entire generation. The Gemara says in Sota Daf Men Zayin that it led to such a point where people just gave up on all basic levels of morality. The Gemara says that Rabu HaMenafim, that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, leading up to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, everyone was involved in adultery, everyone was doing such inappropriate activities, to the point that the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to say, we cannot have the Mei Sota anymore. When do we have the Mei Sota? When a husband accuses his wife that maybe she's done something that she shouldn't have done, brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, she has to drink this whole concoction, but the Pasuk says it only works if the husband is clean, if the husband didn't do anything wrong. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees, we have all these people who are living in such deep levels of immorality. All the husbands are cheating on their wives, and all the wives are cheating on their husbands. Everything's terrible, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, get rid of the Mayim HaMarim, we're not going to have the Mei Sota anymore, even though the Pasuk in Chumash says you should. He said, look, we're living at a time when nobody knows what it means to have levels of ethics and morality. It's such a perverted society. That's what was happening. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, didn't just stop with that. It wasn't just that they were immoral. The Gemara says also that Rabu HaRotzchim, people were going around murdering each other. It was like murder was nothing. And this was something that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai also had to address, to the point that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, we're shutting down the institution of the Beis Din HaGadol. We can't have a Beis Din anymore. It's going to go around and start murdering everybody because they're murdering other people. What kind of society are we going to have? And this was the terrible time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, to the point that the Gemara tells us as well in Sota that Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Ein Lecha Yom Shekilalasa Yoser Mechavera. Every single day, things just continued to spiral downward. It was just the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed ultimately as a result of all this, and everything was slowly deteriorating, or very quickly deteriorating, to the point that the Gemara says that there was a lack of Torah education at the time. There was a lack of everything. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the leader who was charged with trying to inspire the Jewish people at a time like that, which is a very difficult task. How do you pick up a Jewish people? How do you lead them at a time when everything is just spiraling out of control? How do you pick them up at a time when there's nothing they're holding on to anymore, when they have lost all simple levels of morality, of ethics, of society, of understanding, when they're starting to murder each other and they're starting to commit adultery, all the most terrible of crimes? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at the time of the Churban, as we know, the Gemara says in Gittin, that he has the opportunity to meet with Vespasian. And he says to him, he pleads for his life, and he says, Tein li Yavne v'chachameha. I want you to leave over the city of Yavne and all of the great Talmidei Chachamim who are learning Torah in Yavne. And perhaps you can suggest that why was it that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai goes out of his way to ask for Yavne? What about the point of asking for Yerushalayim? Why didn't he ask Vespasian to say Yerushalayim? Why is he asking for Yavne? And perhaps some suggest maybe the reason why is because he's teaching us, when you live at a time of Churban, when you live at a time of destruction like this, the only thing that will keep the Jewish people is Yavne v'chachameha. The only thing that will keep the Jewish people going is if we stick to the Torah, if we learn the Torah, if we support the Torah, if we show how important it is to all of us, that's the only way it will go. Like the Gemara says, Miyom Shechar Beis Hamikdash, Ein lo la Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'olama ela dalet ama shel alach ha'bulvad. That's the only thing that keeps the world going, is if we make sure to engage in Talmud Torah, in serious Talmud Torah, and that's why he goes out of his way to say, don't save any other city in Eretz Yisrael, all I want is Yavne v'chachameh, because that's what's going to keep the Jewish people going. Without Yavne, without the Chachamim, we have no chance of survival at all. We have a very interesting Mishnah. I'm sorry for all the history, I didn't realize it would take this long. We'll get into some halach in a minute. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that Hamisha Talmidim, as we said before, there were five star disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and the Gemara says, Hayimona Shivchan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was often heard listing, speaking about, singing their praises, each one. And he would say, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is a Borsit She'enam Abitipa. His quality is this. And Rabbi Yeshua is Ashrei Yeladato. And Rabbi Yossi is Chassid. And Rabbi Shimon ben Asanel is Yirei Chait. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is a Mayan Hamizgaber. He was Mona Shivcha. So I once heard a beautiful interpretation. Why was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai going around telling over all the good attributes of his Talmidim? He had nothing better to talk about. Why was this important? So I once heard an idea that perhaps the reason why is because look what he was living through. He was living through a time of such depression. Life was so bleak, life was so gloomy. Everybody thought this is the end of the Jewish people. And here you have five Talmidim, even at a time like this, who are willing to come study Torah under your leadership, even at a time when Klal Yisrael is spiraling out of control. These are the only five people. You know what the only way, in such a disheartening period of history, you know what the only way to actually encourage them to do anything and to keep going is? Be Mona Shivcham. Every day you start off a shir, you get up in public and you say, do you know my Talmidim? Do you know who these people are? Lift them up. Talk about them. Say about how praiseworthy they are. Applaud all of their accomplishments. Tell the world about how you celebrate all that they have done in their lives. This is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did, and this is what kept the Jewish people going. I heard once from the Chazon Ish that he had a play on the words. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Chavav that we have a difference between Nechasim Sheyesh Lahem Achrayis and Nechasim She'en Lahem Achrayis. What does it mean? Nechasim Sheyesh Lahem Achrayis means karka, means something that cannot be moved. It's something that's intangible. Intangible? No. Is that the right word? What? Immobile, I guess. What? Property. So the karka is here. It's here to stay. So the Gemara says that when you buy a piece of property, when you have nechasim sheyesh lahem achrayus, you can buy them either bekesef shtar bechazaka. So chazaka means I go balloonly and I put up a big fence there, and now it's mine. Bechazaka, it belongs to me. Or I go with arrogance and somehow I take it away from the other owner. I can't pick up the piece of land and take it somewhere else, but it means bechazaka. I force myself into the property. That means it's going to be mine. However, says the Gemara, when you have nechasim she ein lahem achrayis, when you have property that is, I guess, portable, property that's movable, so the Gemara says the only way you can buy such property is behagba ubimashicha, with picking it up or by taking it close to you. Says the Chazon Ish, when we're dealing with children in our generation, in the times of Churban, in the times of Galus, in a time when there's so much anti-Semitism, when we look around and we see there's so much depression in the world and we see everybody's going to therapists and psychologists and half the people are on medication and everybody needs help and people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing because they're so caught up with all the things that are depressing them and making them sad in life, and you look around the world and we say to ourselves, how can we continue to be like this? How are the Jewish people ever going to have a future that will ever be promising? If you see that we've had so many threats to the JCCs in the last week, and you see how terrible the time it is, and you see how much there's anti-Israel bias, and you see how things are going all against us, how is the chance that we're ever going to have students, that we're ever going to have children who will be interested in continuing in this way? Says the Chazon Ish, the answer is nechasim she'en lahem achrayis, when you're dealing with portable, when you're dealing with people who are so delicate, when you're dealing with people who can be swayed in either direction, the only way to keep them going is behagba uvimashicha, to lift them up, or to draw them in, to draw them closer, to embrace them, to engage them, and to show them that you love them so much. That is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did in his generation. That's what we need to do, said the Chazon Ish, in our generation, when we see how much we're suffering, when we see how much confusion there is in the world, when we see how much people are giving up on their religion because they just don't know where to turn anymore. They don't see a bright future. That is the time to be kona with Hagbah and Mashiach. You pick the child up, you show them how much you love them, you celebrate their accomplishments, and you do Mashiach. You embrace them and you show them how much you love them, how much you're interested in being engaged with them. With all that introduction in mind, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived a great life. He was one of the greatest leaders of the Jewish people, but he had a very difficult task. His leadership was not simple at all. It was a difficult task because he was living through this terrible downward spiral in the times of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and the 40 years leading up to it were not so great either. And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along and makes 9 major takanos. And this is what our Gemara describes a little bit. He makes 9 major implementations into society that had to be made as a result of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So what are they? So the first one is our Gemara. Once we no longer have a Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, now we're going to blow the shofar in any community that has a Beis Din. Zeichel HaMikdash. We have to remind ourselves of what happened in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. If I'm not going to institute this now, who's ever going to remember the way things were back then? We know that we're living in a state of Churban. I'm the leader of the community. See what's happening. And therefore he makes the institution Zeichel HaMikdash. He says, we have to do something. That was the first institution that he made. It was a very important one. The second one he made was that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they only shook lulav in the Beis HaMikdash every day of Sukkot. And in the rest of the world, those who are not found in the Beis HaMikdash, they only shook lulav, lakachtam lachem b'yom harishon. That was it, just on the first day. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, now we're living in a state of churban. What's going to be? We're going to be in exile for a long time. Who's going to remember about the fact that you're really supposed to shake the lulav every day? Comes along Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he says, look, we have to do something. This is the generation we're living in. We're experiencing a churban. If I don't do something now to remind everyone and make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is going to remain on their consciousness, it will totally be forgotten. And therefore, he said, we're going to now institute that you shake the lulav all the 8 days of Sukkot, not just the first day, not just in the Beis HaMikdash, but even in Chutz Laaretz. We're going to have you shake the lulav every day of Sukkot. The third takana that he made was also Zeichel HaMikdash, and that was the following. It used to be by Birchas Kohanim, that the Kohen who duchen in the Beis HaMikdash used to take off their shoes. They would go up yachef, it says. They would go up barefoot. However, in Chutz Laaretz, they would go up with their sandals. Why is that? What's the difference between Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash? Anybody know? So the Gemara says very simple. The reason why is because we're concerned someone in the Beis HaMikdash is going to go try to take his shoes off. Right? And then, I'm sorry, no. Someone in the Beis HaMikdash is going to have to tie his shoes. What? Nifsek lo ritzua. No, someone's shoelace is going to rip. He's going to sit there and try to tie it up. And meanwhile, everyone else in the Beis HaMikdash who are supposed to go up to Duchin, they're all going to go. They're going to leave him behind because he's busy playing with his shoes trying to fix the shoelace. Everyone's going to turn to him. They don't really know who he is, just they saw him washing his hands a minute ago. Now they see he's not up there. Ah, there must be something wrong with him. He's not really a Kohen like we thought he was. Ah, he's walking around. He says his name is Kohen. His mother must have been had a relation with somebody else. He must be a Chalal or this or that. And people are going to start casting negative aspersions against this individual coin and saying that he's not an authentic and legitimate coin. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, the rule was nobody wore shoes. When you went up to Duchen, you had to go up barefoot because we didn't want any coin to have this terrible negative press about himself. What about in Chutz Laaretz? What about outside the Beis HaMikdash? How come everybody used to wear shoes? So the Gemara says the reason why is because, look, how many people used to daven in a shul? 20 people? So if somebody's shoelace rips, they know the shoelace ripped. They don't think anything of it. They know who he is. They know his grandparents. They know his parents. There's nothing to worry about. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if I don't do something to remind people of how we used to duchen in the Beis HaMikdash, no one's going to remember the din. No one's going to remember how it was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he said, because of the Churban, we have to do something. And he adapted that practice. And he said that we have to expand it now outside of the Beis HaMikdash as well, now that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. There were some takanas that he made, which were to try to acclimate the community to the new reality as well. So again, those first three that we mentioned were Zeichel HaMikdash. We want to remind ourselves of the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. There were some that he made because we had to readjust, we had to modify the society, we had to readapt to the new reality that we were living through. So one of those was that they used to give Eidus HaChodesh before the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Now we don't have a Sanhedrin HaGadol anymore. So then he adapted the rule and he said, well, now we have to modify it and you have to give it before a certain kind of Beis Din that's similar to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Then he said also, the Gemara tells us that the only way you can accept a ger, the only way someone's conversion actually works is if they go through a milah. They first have a bismillah, then they have to do a tvila, they have to go to the mikvah, and then they have to have a korban brought on their behalf as well. So what do you do in the times when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash and you cannot offer a Karban Hager? How do you ever accept a convert? So the Gemara says the answer is that the practice always was the convert would set aside money that when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, I'll use this money to bring as a Karban in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along, he says, that's very nice at a time when you live with a Beis HaMikdash. You set aside money, the next time you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you'll bring it. What about the convert now who has to wait 2,500 years till we have a new Beis HaMikdash? What's going to be? He's going to set aside money. Someone's mistakenly going to use the money one day. One of his children's going to want some money for pizza. He's going to go up to the cabinet, take out some coins, and then he's going to be violating the Yisr Me'ilah. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, hey, we have to adapt to the times that we're living in. That same old practice that we had of the ger setting aside money for the carbon is a bad idea now. And he modifies the halacha because he's living in a new reality. So that's what made him a great leader, because he understood that we have to change the rules. We have to modify in some way what the halacha is in order that we should be careful not to violate any halacha that we're not supposed to be violating in the times of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And finally, again, we're not going to go through all the examples, but finally, one very important one very relevant one, is the halacha with regard to the Isser of Achilas Chadash. What's the story with Chadash? So the story with Chadash goes as follows. Every year in the Beis HaMikdash, on Tes Zayin Nisan, they would offer the Karban HaOmer. So Tes Zayin Nisan is this day after the first day, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Tes Zayin Nisan was... No. Right. Tes Zayin Nisan is the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. Correct. So they would offer a Karban HaOmer on the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, and that was matir the people to eat the new grain. Before they offered the Karban, no one was allowed to eat from the new produce. After they have the Karban HaOmer is offered, now you're allowed to eat all the wheat, all the barley. So, this is called the Isser Chadash. You're not allowed to eat the new grain, and that applied from the time that it was harvested until the Karban HaOmer was brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes along and he says, well, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the truth is, you really have the ability to eat the new produce from the morning. Tes Zayin Nisan in the morning. If you don't have a carbon that's going to be offered today, you can eat right away in the morning of Tes Zayin Nisan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came along and he said, well, we're going to have a problem. Because what's going to happen? You're right. This year, Tes Zayin Nisan, there's no Beis HaMikdash, so we don't need the carbon to allow us to eat the Chadash. All we need to do is, once the sun rises in the morning, right away, everything's mutter. What's going to be if one year on Chol HaMoed Pesach, the first day in the middle of the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden Beis HaMikdash flies down from heaven, and now we're ready to go. And everybody's been eating Chadash all day long, from the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now it turns out we have a Beis HaMikdash. We didn't bring the Karban HaOmer yet. It's the first thing we're going to have to do. After all, it's Tes Zayin Nisan. And we wouldn't really be allowed to eat the Chadash in that year because now we have a Beis HaMikdash. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I'm nervous about this. Meheri Yivon HaBeis HaMikdash. We have to be living with the perspective that yes, we once again will have a Beis HaMikdash, and that has to be a real concern. And therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I'm not only going to make takanas of Zeich HaLechurban, I'm not only going to modify and adapt the halacha to the reality that I'm living now of Churban Beis HaMikdash without having the whole institution of what used to be there, but now we have to make a takana agzera also because Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash. We hope and we believe that one day we will have a Beis HaMikdash and it's going to come to us as a surprise, and therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I have to institute something that the Yisr Chadash shouldn't pose a problem at the time of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he thinks that the halacha should be, he made a takana, you're never allowed to eat Chadash on the whole day of Tes Zayin Nisan. Until the next day, because once the next day comes and you miss the opportunity to offer the Karban HaOmer, so then there's nothing to worry about anymore. It's too late. Even if the Beis HaMikdash is built on the second day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, you miss the chance to bring the Karban HaOmer. So this was a very relevant and important takana, which I think is worth mentioning once we're talking about Chadash. Why is it that almost none of us are careful about the Isser of Chadash nowadays? Right? The Isser of Chadash, again, you have Svarta communities that are very makbid on it, you have some followers of the Vilna Gaon Shitas that are very careful about Chadash, but for most people, even great people, even people who are machmir in many other areas, for some reason, when it comes to Chadash, it's something that is very much disregarded, it's something that we're not careful about. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Asur lechol chadash af bizman hazeh. Shulchan Aruch writes in Arachayim el Pesach that one is not allowed to eat chadash even bizman hazeh. Until when? Until later on Pesach, until the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach finishes, then you're allowed to go ahead and eat it. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, and he says, well, if the Shulchan Aruch says you're not even allowed to eat Chadash, even Bizman HaZeh, so how come nobody's careful about it? He says, Rav HaOlam Einiz Haram Klal B'Yisr Chadash. The Mishnah Berurah writes, nobody's careful about this. Even, he says, great Tzadikim, great Talmid HaChachamim, great Yirei Shamayim, how come they're not careful? So he says, well, maybe it's because it's very difficult. After all, says the Mishnah Berurah, we can't live without beer. We can't live without schnapps. So the Mishnah Berurah says, that's what he says. Everybody used to drink schnapps when they were very cold, living in Siberia, I guess. That was the only way to warm yourself up. So therefore, we assume that this is mamash shas adchak, and therefore we have to allow ourselves to eat the chadash. What do you mean shas adchak? So shas adchak, you're allowed to break the rules? I think it's a shas adchak. I can't make a parnasa back in the 1930s, so go work on Shabbos. Go work on Shabbos. Shas adchak, what am I going to do? Can't just say shas adchak, so do whatever you want. So what does it mean? What does the Mishnah Berurah mean here? Shas adchak, we all need the whiskey, we all need the schnapps, we all have to live on this, so therefore, we cannot allow ourselves to be makbid on the Yisra of Chadash. What does that mean? So the truth is, the Taz in Yeridea discusses the issue. And the Taz in Yeridea writes, well, if you look in the Gemara carefully in Kiddushin, the Gemara has a machlokas. With regard to the Yisra of Chadash, do we assume it applies only to grain that grew in Israel, or do we assume that applies even to grain that grew in Chutz La'aretz as well? So that's the question that the Gemara raises. It's a major machlokas hatanoim. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Tanakhama. Then it's a machlokas again between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And the Gemara does not come to a conclusive maskana at all. The Gemara assumes, if you're here from Arab, it's next door. So the Gemara does not come to a conclusive psak at all with regard to Chadash and Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, says the Taz, since we don't really have a conclusive psak in the Gemara, so we have a right to be Meikel B'Shas Adchak. We have a right to rely on those opinions that say there's no Yisr Chadash in Chutz La'aretz, and that's why many of us are Meikel B'Zman HaZeh. That's what the Taz writes. And the Shach pounces on him. He says, what are you talking about? The only time we have a right to be Meikel like the other opinion when we don't know what the psak is when we're dealing with a Din D'Rabbanan and something of that nature. Here we're talking about a bona fide Din D'Oraisa. We're talking about Chadash. Chadash Osam and Atari. You're not allowed to do that at all. So what right do you have to be Meikel on the other opinions because the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusive psak? But the Rif and the Rush come to a conclusive psak. They all say it's Aser. So what right do you have to rely on the other opinion? So the Shach is very opposed to this. It's a major issue. Either way, the Mishnah Berurah writes that Bal Nefesh, Yachmir, or Bal Nefesh should not rely on this. Again, I don't think most of us are so careful about it, but it is a major issue. It is a major issue, and it's something that we lack clarity on. Why are we Meikel when it comes to Chadash nowadays if, in fact, it really stems from a Din D'Oraisa? And according to half of the Rishonim, it still is a Din D'Oraisa, even in Chutz La'aretz. There's nothing D'Rabbanan about it. So this is something to consider. For those, even for those who are Meikel, like I believe most of us are probably Meikel, we're not so careful about the laws of Chadash, the Chasam Sofer writes on Chumash and Parshas Bo that when it comes to matzah on the night of the Seder, we should all make sure to have wheat, flour that was used from the non-Chadash flour. We should all use flour that is absolutely mutter, even if you're not makban on Chadash the rest of the year, because otherwise, he says, you're running the risk of a mitzvah baba avera. You have a mitzvah to fulfill of matzah, and you might be fulfilling matzah with matzah that you're not allowed to eat, because it's Chadash. So the Chasam Sofer writes, it would be important to point out that when a person bakes the matzah, you should try to make sure that you have flour that is made from the old flour, not from flour which is aser, because then you run into the risk of a mitzvah haba be'avera. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes. Other Achronim write the same. And it's a very interesting comment. So there are those who try to be machmir. Most of us generally are not so careful about this. But even for those who are machmir, there's a very fascinating point made by the Chayei Adam. Chayei Adam, I believe, was a mechutin somehow with the Vilna Gaon. I don't know exactly if he was a mechutin for real. You know, sometimes I've met a lot of people who call my father their mechutin, even though none of my siblings are married to their children, but they're related to someone who's related, so it's a mechutin somehow. So, I don't know what it means that Chayei Adam was a mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. I don't know if it means he really was, or he was distantly related to him, and it was considered a big covet to be called a mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, so that's what he went by. So the Chayei Adam quotes a lot of things from the Vilna Gaon, his mechutin, and he says here that the Vilna Gaon had the practice to be very careful about Chadash, and he was very careful always to be makbid, that he shouldn't eat Chadash until after the proper time, and he writes that although the Vilna Gaon was very makbid not to eat Chadash, the Vilna Gaon was very makbid that on Yud Ches Nisan, which is in Chutz La'aretz, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, so, what? Yud Ches, I'm sorry, the second day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Chutz La'aretz, he said, when it came, when it came to Yud Ches Nisan, so the Vilna Gaon was very careful to eat bedafka from the Chadash. Because now the Chadash is mutter. So the Vilna Gaon went out of his way to bedafka eat from the new produce. Why? Because he said, this shows the Ribbono Shel Olam, this shows the world that the only reason I didn't eat it until now is not because I don't like it, it's not because it wasn't available, but because it's absolutely usher. By eating it now, I'm showing now it's mutter. So now I bedafka go out of my way to eat on the second day of Pesach, when it's now mutter, l'kuli alma. So now I go out of my way bedafka to eat that. Similar to what the Rama says. The Rama says that right after Pesach, some have the practice to make havdalah bedafka on shecher, to make havdalah bedafka on beer instead of making it on wine. Why? What?
I can't believe that story.
Which story? About the Vilna Gaon? Chayyadim quotes it. No. Not this. No, the Chayyadim quotes it about Stam, about the Chadash. Now the question is, what about the wine and beer? So this is an interesting issue. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Maaser Rav as well, that on Matzah Pesach, he would make sure to run out and buy pizza, I don't know, whatever they had back then, to show that all the days of Pesach, I was bedavka not eating the pizza. And I love it so much that the minute Pesach is over, I'm running out to buy the pizza right away. And I'm showing the Ribbono Shel Olam, now we have a good excuse for why our families run out to buy pizza the minute Pesach is over. The answer is, your mom is following the sheet of the Vilna Gaon to show that the only reason we abstain from eating the chametz all of the 8 days of Pesach is because we love the Ribbono Shel Olam so much, and we love him more than we love his pizza. So therefore, we stayed away from the pizza for the 8 days of Pesach, and now, the minute Pesach is over, we're showing that this is the way to express the fact that matzah was the only thing we were able to eat for the past week. So this is also the practice some have, to bedavka make havdalah on matzah Pesach with shecher, with beer, to show the same thing. To show that beer, although we love it very much, it was usher all along, but now we believe that it's mutter. Let me just close with a geshmak of B'nai Yisrael. I'm sorry, I can't close without it. It's an amazing B'nai Yisrael, and it has to do with Pesach. It's coming up, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, almost. So the, not exactly, but almost. So the B'nai Yisrael, Lasidish accounting, you know, it's a little bit different. So the B'nai Yisrael says the following vart. He writes that here we have a Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't only make takanas which were zecher l'migdash to remind us of the Beis HaMikdash, but he made a takana also which was meheir yibana Beis HaMikdash. We have to keep in mind, maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt out of nowhere. We're going to be surprised, and we're going to have to figure out what to do right away. So we have to know the halacha now, because otherwise we're going to run into a problem. That was the rationale for his takana with regard to chadash. Right? That's what we just spoke about. Zakta b'nei Yisrael as follows. We have every night of the every year, the night of the Seder, we start off and we say Halach Ma'anya, and we say Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. Everyone should come in and eat. Now we have two halves of the Seder when we eat matzah. We eat matzah in the beginning, which is the Lechem Oni. That's the matzah to remind us of the Shibud Mitzrayim. Then we eat matzah at the end of the Seder, the Afikoman. What's that for? Zeichel Karban Pesach. That's supposed to be a reminder for the Karban Pesach. So, fract the Bnei Yisrael, I don't understand. Why wasn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai concerned? We're saying, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, everybody come join us, come and eat the matzah, and this matzah is to remind us of the Karban Pesach. What about the fact, Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash? Let's say the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built right away, and we're going to be surprised by it. Now we're going to sit down to the first Seder, we're going to say, oh, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, everybody come eat with us. What do you mean, Dichvin Yesev Yechol? On Karban Pesach, you're only allowed to join, you're only allowed to eat if you were min hamanuyim, if you were one of the people who was counted in from the outset. You can't just invite people off the street to join you in the Seder and eat your Karban Pesach. So he asked, why weren't we concerned the same way the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned by Chadash? And he made a takana that you have to say, Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to get thrown off, we're going to make a mistake. So too over here, how do we say on the night of the Seder, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, because all we're eating is matzah anyway, in commemoration of the Karban Pesach, what about the fact that maybe we're going to make a mistake when it comes to the real thing? I think it's a good kasha.
Matzah is not good lamb.
Yeah. But one year, we're going to adapt it to the Karban Pesach. We're going to open up the same old... Oh, so it's very different, but so listen what he says. So he writes the following. He says, the answer is as follows. When it comes to the Karban Pesach, exactly like you're saying, if the Beis HaMikdash is built on Erev Pesach, let's say, right? It can't be because you need a few days to set aside a Karban and get everything ready. So it's built a few days before Pesach. So we're going to come to the night of the Seder, we're going to know, hey, this is not the same as it used to be. We're eating now Karban Pesach instead of matzah. No one's going to make a mistake. So we're not going to have that mistake at all. However, he says, when it comes to Chadash, so what's going to happen? You have people living in New York City. You have people living in Woodmere. They're celebrating Pesach in Woodmere. All of a sudden, they turn on the radio, Matzah Yantif. Oh, by the way, Mashiach just showed up. There's a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Don't eat the Chadash. Don't eat the Chadash. Beis HaMikdash was just built. I'm going to say, what do you mean Beis HaMikdash was built? I already ate the Chadash. How come I'm so thrown off? I don't even know what's happening anymore. I don't live in Eretz Yisrael. Even if I live in Eretz Yisrael, not necessarily is everyone going to show up the day that the Beis HaMikdash is built. Not everybody knows it's supposed to be a Karban HaOmer. If the Beis HaMikdash is built, says the Bnei Yisachar, right before Pesach, everybody knows you have to bring a Karban Pesach, and you're going to sit down to the Seder, you're going to know the rules are different. When it comes to Chadash, you can be sitting in your own house. You don't offer your own Karban Pesach. You're not going to know. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned, and he said, we have to do something to make sure people don't make a mistake by Chadash, whereas you don't have to do anything because no one's going to make a mistake when it comes to Karban Pesach. And with this, he explains what the nusach is of Halach Ma'anya. Listen to this. This is the clincher. Halach Ma'anya, this is the matzah that we eat in commemoration of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the Shibun Mitzrayim. And this is also the matzah that we eat at the end of the Seder in commemoration of the Karban Pesach. Kol dichvin yesev yechal. We want everyone to come and join us with the matzah that we eat for the Lechemoni. Kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. We want everyone who needs to come in and join us in the matzah that we eat in commemoration of the Karban Pesach, which is the second half of the Seder. Aye, you're concerned about the fact, meheri yibana beis hamikdash. The answer is hashata hacha. We're in Galus. We're here. The Shana Haba, the Eretz Yisrael. Next year we'll have a Beis HaMikdash. We'll have a Karban Pesach. No one's going to make a mistake. No one's going to be confused. And that's why we make that declaration at the beginning of the Seder, to make sure everybody knows, Hashata Hacha, the only reason we invite everybody in is because now we're here. Next year we're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to have a Karban Pesach. We're going to do things the way we're supposed to. And no one's going to make a mistake then. Such a beautiful pshat. Such a great pshat. I don't know if it's emes or not, but it's a great, beautiful pshat. And with that, I wish everyone a wonderful evening.